بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Inshallah, today, sisters, we will continue learning about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the title of the class today is the General Social Boycott. Actually, it was only 5 years since Archangel Jibril had first come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was 2 years since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had spoken out in public that the number of the Prophet's followers increased, so the enemies of the Prophet grew more angry. At last, some of the Muslims decided to go to another country in order to avoid the harsh and painful treatment of the disbelievers. So this is a proof how the life was very difficult for the early Muslims, that they decided to leave. Okay, the Muslims asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to allow them to leave Mecca. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed, saying it would be better for you to go to Abyssinia. Okay, Abyssinia.
Not sure how to say it.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So why they choose to move to Abyssinia? Because the king there was a just man, and it is a friendly country, so they can stay there until Allah make it possible for them to return. The Muslims prepared for the journey. They decided to wait until night so that they could leave without being seen by the Quraysh people. The first 16 left Mecca, and after reaching the Red Sea, they crossed over to Abyssinia. Another 83 men and 19 women followed, all hoping to be welcomed by the king and the people of that country. This was the immigration, or the first migration in Islam. So the first migration in Islam was to Abyssinia, and it was because of the harsh and painful treatment which the Muslims were exposed to. The people of Mecca, the disbelievers, were very upset when they discovered that those Muslims had secretly left the city. The anger of the Meccans was even greater when they found out that the Muslims had been welcomed in Abyssinia. The leaders of the Quraysh, they decided to send two men to the Abyssinian king in hopes of convincing him to send the Muslims back to Mecca. And again, sisters, this is a clarification of how those disbelievers were against Islam, and they were trying even to bring them back so that they can treat them badly and they can stop the message of Islam. Before meeting the king, these two men from Quraysh, they gave each of the king's advisors a gift, saying, "Some foolish men from our people have come to hide in your country. So please help us to convince the king to kick them out of your country, God bless you. On meeting the king, the two men said, "Your Highness, these Muslims have abandoned the religion we have always followed in Mecca, but they have not even become Christians like you, but they followed Muhammad's religion, and they are liars." So they tried to convince the king that it is a wrong religion, they are even not Christian like you, and let us take those people back to Mecca. So the king then sent to the Muslims and asked them to tell him about this religion. Actually, the king was a very wise man. Okay, if you have a confrontation between two people, you must listen to that group and you must listen to the other group. So the king sent to the Muslim and asked them about their religion. So they, one of the immigrant Muslims said, "O king, at first we were among the ignorant. We used to worship idols. We ate meat that had not been killed in the right way. We didn't respect the human rights. That is to say, the strong took advantage of the weak. Actually, we did terrible things of which I dare not speak. This was our life until Allah sent a messenger from among us, one of our relatives, whom we have always known. He was always known to be the honest, innocent, and faithful. He asked us to worship only Allah and to give up the bad customs of our forefathers. He asked us to be truthful and trustworthy, to respect and honor our families and our neighbors, to look after the orphans. He ordered us not to slander or speak evil of women and men, and to put a stop to our bad deeds and endless fighting. He came with a religion based on worshiping only one God and not to worship anyone or any other thing else alongside Allah, and to pray and to fast and to give charity. We believe this is the right religion and therefore we follow him. The Meccans were angry with us and began to attack us to leave our new religion. So we had to leave our homes and we have to come to you hoping to find justice." The king, who was a Christian, his name was An-Najashi, he was moved by these words. So he asked the Muslims if they can recite from their new religion. So one of the Muslims recited from Surah number 19, from verse 16 and 33. Let us now know about what part of the Quran the immigrant Muslim chose to recite to the king of Abyssinia. From 1 to 33.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا فاتخذت من دونهم حجابا فأرسلنا إليها روحنا فتمثل لها بشرا سويا قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا قال إنما أنا رسول ربك لأهب لك غلاما زكيا قالت أنى يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أك بغيا قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين ولنجعله آية للناس ورحمة منا وكان أمرا مقضيا فحملته فانتبذت به مكانا قصيا فأجاءها المخاض إلى جذع النخلة قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا فناداها من تحتها ألا تحزني قد جعل ربك تحتك سريا وهزي إليك بجذع النخلة تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا فكلي واشربي وقري عينا فإما ترين من البشر أحدا فقولي إني نذرت للرحمن صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا فأتت به قومها تحمله قالوا يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا يا أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء وما كانت أمك بغيا فأشارت إليه قالوا كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبيا قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وبرا بوالدتي ولم يجعلني جبارا شقيا.
Okay, then from 15 to
15. That's a beautiful verse.
Ah, Surat Maryam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book, the story of Neri, when she withdrew from her family to a place toward the east, and she took in seclusion from them a screen. Then we sent to her our angel, Jibreel, and he represented himself to her as a well-proportioned man. She said, indeed, I took a seek refuge and the most merciful from you, so leave me if you should be fearing of Allah. He said, I am only the messenger of your Lord to give you news of a pure boy, a son. She said, how can I have a boy while no man has touched me and I have not been unchaste? He said, thus it will be, your Lord says, it is easy for me, and we will make him a sign to the people and a mercy from us. And it is a master, it is a matter already decreed. So she conceived him, and she withdrew with him to a remote place. And the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of the palm tree. She said, oh, I wish I had died before this, and was in oblivion, forgotten. So he called her from below her, do not grieve, your Lord has provided beneath you a stream. And shade toward you the trunk of the palm tree, it will drop upon you the ripe fresh dates. So eat and drink and be contented. And if you see from among humanity anyone, say, indeed, I have vowed to the most merciful of abstention. So I will not speak today to any man. Then she thought him, Then she brought him to her people, carrying him. They said, O Mary, you have certainly done a thing unprecedented. O sister, descendant of Aaron, your father was not a man of evil, nor was your mother unchaste. So she pointed to him. They said, how can we speak to one who is in the cradle a child? Jesus said, indeed, I am the servant of Allah. He has given me the scripture and made me a prophet. And he has made me blessed wherever I am, and has enjoined upon me a prayer and zakat as long as I remain alive, and made me dutiful to my mother, and he has not made me a rich tyrant. And peace is on me the day I was born, and the day I will die, and the day I am raised alive.
So actually, these are the verses of the Quran which the Muslim recited for the king of Abyssinia. And when the king heard these verses of the Quran, his eyes filled with tears. Turning to his advisors, he said, these words have surely come from God, as what both Jesus and Muhammad have brought comes from the same source. So it was clear that it is not Prophet Muhammad the Mad or the Magician. This is a message from God. This is a message from Allah. So he was convinced that they are not liars. And the Muslims were given the permission to live peacefully in this country. And the two Meccans returned home disappointed. They cannot get them back. And the Muslims, actually, they stayed in that country until Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina, and then they moved from Abyssinia to Medina directly. Now we will learn about the convert of one of a very important man in the history of Islam, and that man is Umar ibn al-Khattab. Okay, why the convert of Umar ibn al-Khattab to Islam is very important, and actually it is mentioned in every biography of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in full details. We will learn the reason now. Actually, this man, Umar ibn al-Khattab, was very strong and respectable. He was one of the nobles of Mecca. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called on Allah to support the early Muslims who were facing the harsh and painful treatment, to support them with Umar. because of his personality and his prestige, so that Umar can stand for the leaders of Quraysh with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To know how Allah answered the Prophet dua regarding Umar to become a Muslim, we will listen to the story from the beginning. Actually, as Umar was one of the nobles of Mecca, he rejected Islam, as most of the leaders of Quraysh rejected Islam. So out of his strong personality, he decided that the only way to stop Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to kill him. And actually, this is the personality of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar ibn al-Khattab has a very brave heart, and he is the role model of justice. Okay, and we will learn this, inshallah, while we are learning about Islam. Okay, this is the most important character for him, is that he is very brave and he is after the justice. Even against himself or his family, he will follow the justice. So actually, having made up his mind to kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he set up at once to look for Muhammad to kill him. On his way, he met a man who said to him, before killing Muhammad, don't you know your own sister Fatima is a Muslim? Okay, so stop your sister first before going and killing the messenger. Umar was shocked, as he couldn't believe this was true. So he went at once to his sister's home. As he arrived outside the house, he heard Fatima and her husband Sa'id reading aloud from Surah number 20, Surah Taha. He heard. Okay, they didn't mention what did he hear. He already heard from Surah Taha, but just they mentioned that he heard them reading aloud from the Quran. So he stormed into the room and demanded, what is this nonsense I heard? This is Umar ibn al-Khattab, okay, before Islam. Fatima denied everything, but Umar then lost his temper and attacked Fatima and her husband, shouting, they told me that you joined Muhammad in his religion. Fatima said, yes, we are Muslims and we believe in Allah and his messenger, and you can do what you like. Seeing her faith and courage, Umar suddenly felt sorry for what he had done to his sister, because he was very tough with his sister. So he said, let me see what I heard you reading just now. Fatima gave him the paper after he had washed to make himself clean and pure before touching it. Fatima didn't allow him to touch the paper where the Quran is written before, asking him to wash and to become pure. Okay, in spite of the fact she knows how he is a tough man, but for the sake of the Quran, okay, she didn't allow him to touch the Quran. As he read, Umar suddenly knew that these were the most beautiful words he had ever heard, and this is the religion which must be true. You know, sister, this is Allah's mercy. When Allah planned for someone to believe, he will believe in a second. He was going to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In spite of killing, instead of killing him, he became a Muslim like this. With his sword still in his hand, he went straight to the Prophet and knocked loudly at the door. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Umar why he had come. To which Umar replied, I have come to swear that there is no God but Allah, and that you, Muhammad, is the messenger of Allah. As he spoke these words, he decided that his sword now will be used to defend the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the message of Islam. This is Umar ibn al-Khattab. He is a very special man in the history of Islam. He was leaving his house to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his sword. But when he believed, he decided that sword will be for anyone who is against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Umar was a very brave man, and as soon as he declared his faith, he went directly to the Kaaba and announced a shahada loudly. No one dared to say anything. You see, this is Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said, why all the Muslims were facing hardship and I am not facing hardship like them? I must face hardship. Not because I am one of the noble people will not give me hard time. I must face hard time. You know, this is the personality of Umar ibn al-Khattab. So he went and he announced to everyone so that someone will come and attack him. No one said any word because this is Umar ibn al-Khattab. But now the leaders of Quraysh became even more alarmed and began to see Islam as a threat to the whole life of the city of Mecca. Now Umar is saying, I am a Muslim loudly, and he cannot say anything. This is, you know, an event which they never accept, but they cannot say anything because this is Umar. Okay? So they grow more and more angry as the number of the Muslims increased until finally they decided that the Prophet must be killed. This is the only way now. You know, they tried all the means, they tried to treat them in a bad way, to be painful, harsh time, okay, they tried by all the means, but they cannot. They went to Abu Talib and they told him, we can give him money, we can give him wealth, we can give Muhammad prestige. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if they put the moon, the sun on my right hand and the moon on my left hand, I will not leave the message of Allah until I am killed. So they decided that the only way now is to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, the leaders one by one, as it happened with Umar, will become Muslims and they will lose the whole battle. So, on hearing of these plans, Abu Talib, the Prophet's uncle, decided to protect his nephew, in spite of the fact he was not a Muslim. You know, but this is the family relationship which was very important for the Arabs before. You know, nowadays, unfortunately, the Arabs are not actually caring much for the rights of the family relationship. If you are my sister, you, my mother, my nephew, you have rights on me, okay, and I must fulfill it to you. We forget all of this, okay. But those were the early Muslims, these were the pure Arabs whom they care for the family relationship. So he decided to protect his nephew when he knew that they are planning to kill him. When Quraysh realized that they could not kill the Prophet because of Abu Talib protection, they decided to stop all the relation with Prophet Muhammad and his family and his followers. And this is the beginning of the economic social boycott. Okay? Actually, it was from the 7th to the 10th year of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mission. It was for 3 years. Okay, we must know about that boycott so that we can realize how much Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family and his followers, how much they suffered for the sake of the religion of Islam. When Quraysh realized that they couldn't kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of his protection by his family, they decided to avoid Muhammad and his extended family and his followers completely. A declaration to this effect was hung at the Kaaba. They decided not to have any business dealing with them, nor any sort of intermarriage, social relations, visits, and even verbal contact with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family and his supporters, until the Prophet was given to them to be killed. You see how it was very difficult. How those people were very stubborn. Okay, they either kill him or they will stop, you know, any relation with them, even to speak to them. They will not speak to them. Okay? So Abu Talib, because he is the oldest man at that time, the uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he decided to withdraw to a valley on the eastern outskirts of Mecca. Okay? They decided to leave. Okay, and to live alone in one of the actually mountains of Mecca, where Abu Talib and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his supporters lived for 3 years. It was very difficult time. Why? Number one, because the supply of food was almost stopped. Okay, so they tried to buy the supplies from a caravan passing near the Mecca. They cannot buy from the people of Quraysh. So they were waiting for any caravan to pass so that they can catch the people and buy from them. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Very difficult. But Abu Lahab, you know Abu Lahab, Tabbacha, Berish Abu Lahab, okay, one of the worst Muslim enemies, he offered 10 times the price of the food to the merchant. Okay, by doing this, the foodstuff was unjustly overpriced. And the Muslims stopped from buying what they greatly need. You know, they made it more and more difficult for them. Even to buy, no, they can, you can't buy, we will increase the price 10 times. Okay? They were so overstrained that they had to eat the leaves of the trees and the skins of the animals. Okay, this is known in history that the early Muslims and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ate the leaves of the trees, okay, and the skins of the animals, not to leave their belief. Okay, this is the actually, sister, the stories which every Muslim must remember so that it can give you, you know, the reality of sincerity. Everyone is saying, I am a sincere Muslim. I love Islam. I love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But can you eat the leaves of the trees? Can you eat the skin of the animal? Can you? No. No.
You don't know until you're in that situation, right? Yes. You don't know until you're in that situation what you would do.
Yes, but you know, tell you, Daniel, it is up to your belief. Yeah. Maybe when you are in the situation and your belief is weak like our belief now, we will all leave Islam. Okay? Because sometimes nowadays, when any Muslim or some of the Muslims are pressurized, they forget about the whole story. Even if they are not pressurized. When you say to any sister, please put head cover, she will tell you, this is very difficult for me. Don't pressurize me, otherwise I will not like Islam at all. When you tell her, just cover your head, while most of the weather is either too hot or too rainy. So the head cover is a blessing from Allah. To tell you the truth, in the very hot weather of Houston, the head cover is a blessing. And in the very winter months, it is also a blessing. Okay? But no, I can't put a head cover for the sake of Allah. But those people, they were eating the leaves of the trees and the skin of the animals for the sake of Allah. Okay, during these 3 years, Khadija, the Prophet's wife, who was very rich, she spent all her money. And also all the Muslims, they ended by having nothing to buy food. Despite all these tough days and years, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam persisted in his line and his determination and courage never weakened. His determination and courage never weakened. He continued to go to Al-Kaaba and to pray in front of everyone. He used every opportunity to preach to outsiders who visited Mecca for business or pilgrimage. Then a group of 5 people of Quraysh began to feel ashamed of their harsh treatment, as especially many of the Muslims were their cousins and close relatives. So they convinced the leaders of the tribe of Quraysh that the time had come to put an end to the boycott. So they decided to take down the notice hanging at the Kaaba after 3 years. Okay? To their astonishment, the sheer of paper had been completely eaten up by the worms, all except the words in your name, O Allah, which has been written at the top of the paper. You see, sister, this is Allah the Almighty. When they decided to go and to remove the paper, they didn't find the paper. It was all eaten except in the name of Allah. Subhanallah. And now we will learn the lessons behind this hardship. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the new Muslim, they went back to a normal way of life. These were the 3 years of great suffering which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the early Muslim faced. So what are the lessons behind these hardships? Lessons from the boycott. Number one. During these years of terrible treatment, instead of Islam becoming weaker, it grew stronger. How? Allah sent more and more revelation. The Quran was sent to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was clear that the Muslims were being strengthened by the hardship they suffered and were being tested in their faith. Allah was supporting them by many verses of the Quran, and they became more strong. Number two, each year at the time of the pilgrimage to Mecca, people came from all over Arabia. Those pilgrims saw the injustice of Quraysh towards the Muslims, and many of them were sorry for the Prophet's followers, and many of them became Muslims. So it was for the Muslim benefit. Number three, the most precious gift for the Muslims at that time was water. Okay, because water is the gift of life. Khadija, the Prophet's wife, she gave Ali, who is Prophet's cousin, she gave him her pieces of gold to sell and to bring the water to all the Muslims. Okay, so they all received the water from Khadija. And this is the reality of the woman whom Allah chosen to Prophet, to support the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we knew that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the 25 years old, married Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, she was a widow, 40 years old, everyone was astonished. Oh, Prophet Muhammad, why this marriage? This is one of the reasons why that marriage. Allah chose Khadija, okay, specially to support Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that difficult time. She was the first person to believe in Islam. She was the one who she supported him with all her money, and she was the one whom she spent 3 years with him in these difficult circumstances. And actually, Khadija will die soon because of this hardship, because she was older than him by 15 years old, and she cannot tolerate this hardship as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam can tolerate it. And this is why, sister, we must always believe that Allah is choosing every one of us for the best circumstances to live in. Okay, it is not just, I was living in Egypt, then I went to, for example, the Gulf area, okay, for more than 15 years, then I came to America, okay, to live in America. No, it is not just, oh Allah, why I didn't live in America first before going to the Gulf area, okay? No, it is not up to where you live or when you live, okay, it is up to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the extent that you can't believe how it is very delicate for Allah to choose for everyone the way of life, the days of life, and the hours of life. Okay, it is up to Allah, and it is very critical. And this is the proof why Allah had chosen Khadija specially, because Allah already knew who is Khadija. And Allah knew that she is the only one who can play that role in the life of Prophet Muhammad and at the beginning of Islam. Also, Abu Talib, the Prophet's uncle, he didn't sleep at night. All the 3 years, he didn't sleep. Why? He spent the whole night shifting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from one place to another, as he was worried that the Quraysh may send someone to kill him at night. Number three, Abu Bakr, the closest companion to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a rich man. So he used to bring essential supplies to the Muslim, even if he had to fight Abu Lahab. Okay? It should be pointed that the goal of this boycott was to destroy Islam. This was the goal of the Quraysh people. They want to destroy Islam, and they couldn't destroy Islam without killing Muhammad. But they failed, as the Muslims and the relatives of the Prophet were reunited against the Quraysh, and they protected Prophet Muhammad by all the means. So they cannot kill him, and they cannot win on them, and the Muslims won that battle. The great lesson to every one of us, okay, regarding that hardship, is what Allah mentioned in Surah number 29, verse number 1, 2, and 3. This is the lesson for every one of us, for any Muslim who is living from now until the Day of Judgment, from the revelation of the Quran until the Day of Judgment. This is the most important message regarding the boycott of the early Muslims. We will recite now from Surah number 29, verse 1, 2, and 3.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتن الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين
صدق الله.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Do the people think they will be left to say, "We believe and they will not be tried"? But they have certainly tried those before them, and Allah will surely make evident those who are truthful, and He will surely make evident the liars.
Okay. So actually, sisters, Allah the Almighty is sending for us a very important message in these verses of the Quran, Surah number 29. This is Surah Al-Ankabut. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verse 1-3. We must always remember these three verses of the Quran. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The name of the surah is the spider. Okay. In these verses of the Quran, Allah is clarifying that, do the people think that they will be left to say, "We believe," and they will not be tried? Okay, this is the question. The answer is, believe is not a word. Okay, we say, I believe is not to say, "I believe." No. Believe is a reality that imposes duties. Believe is a trust that carries requirement. Belief is a struggle that demands patience. This is the reality of the belief, sisters. We must know this fact from the beginning. Okay? It is not just, do you want to become a Muslim? Yes, I am a Muslim. Okay. You believe in Islam? Yes, I am a Muslim. Okay. No. This is not Islam. This is not the belief. Okay? The belief, as I mentioned, is a trust, is a reality, and is a struggle. Okay? It is not enough that people should claim to believe. When they make this claim, they will be subjected to hardships. Why? To prove their sincerity. You must prove their sincerity. Actually, Allah the Almighty who created us, He already knew about our sincerity. But we must prove it so that on the Day of Judgment, okay, you will be facing your reality. You cannot go and say to Allah, "Oh Allah, I was so interested in Islam. Oh Allah, I have the intention to pray the prayer at time and to know about the message of the Quran and to do the good deeds and to be a good Muslim. Oh Allah, I have the intention." Okay, you have the intention. This is very good. But what about your deeds? Okay, these are your deeds. This is the proof of your reality. Okay, so we must always believe that Allah will subject us to hardships. Why? To prove our sincerity. Okay, such rule is the general and long established. Exposure to hardship is the proof of sincerity. This is the rule. It is general and long established, as Allah clarified in verse number 3. But we have certainly tried those before you, okay, or before them, and Allah will surely make evident those who are truthful, and He will surely make evident of the liars. Okay, so this is actually a warning from Allah. Don't imagine that you can cheat, okay, or you can mislead Allah. Okay, in this life I will not do anything from what I am supposed to do as a Muslim, but when on the Day of Judgment I will say to Allah that I have the intention that everything was against me. Actually, it was my goal to be a good believer, but oh Allah, it was out of my hand. No, Allah is clarifying that you cannot play this game. Okay, you will be facing hardships as those before you already faced the hardships and they proved their reality. Okay, so Allah is clarifying that the early Muslims were exposed to hardship to prove their reality. What is the meaning of proving my reality? To distinguish those who are truthful from the liars. The most important to understand is that Allah has no desire to put believers to such hardship or cause them suffering. Because there are some Muslims or Muslims by name whom they are always angry. Why Allah is putting us to hardships? Why? For the sake of what? Causing troubles for us? If we say we are Muslims, why He is putting us to hardships? Okay? Allah is clarifying that He has no desire to put anyone to hardship or to cause them suffering. It is all part of their preparation to take up the trust, to obey the commands of Allah, and to receive Allah's reward. Exposure to difficulties withstanding pain and overcoming desires are the forms of the preparation of the believer spirits to become stronger, as only the strongest remain steadfast. What is the meaning of this sister? The meaning of this sister is that, for example, I can say, "Oh Allah, I am the best one to believe in you in this worldly life." Excellent. You are the best one to believe in me? Okay. So you were working as a pediatrician, okay? You will not work anymore. I will stop you from working, okay? You will not enjoy being a physician. You will not enjoy having a good salary. You will not enjoy the feeling that I am helping the sick people. You will not enjoy the prestige of being a physician. You will stay at home, okay? Staying at home will still... you will still worship me in the best shape, or you will be upset with me and say, "Oh Allah, why I have to lose my job?" Most of the physicians at that time, they didn't lose their job. I was one of very little people. My family circumstances, for the sake of my family, I had to quit medicine. Okay? But it was not easy for me at all. I always remember these days, because every day at 7 o'clock, I was supposed to leave my home, having my white coat and my prestige, and going to the hospital as a pediatrician. But since I stayed at home, I start to live as a servant, because at 7 o'clock, I must clean the kitchen. Okay? No white coat, no prestige, nothing. Just I was crying, okay, alone. And at that time, I was not so religious. I was praying and fasting, and I did hajj and everything, okay? But my heart was not clear regarding the message. So I was questioning, "Oh Allah, the rest of the physicians are going to the hospital." I was looking from the window, and I am the only one cleaning the kitchen for the rest of my life. And at that time, maybe I was 33 years old. I was still young. I didn't practice medicine more than 8 years. Yes, but this was for the sake of my family. Me and my husband, both of us cannot work. So he gave to me, you know, I have to choose, or I had to choose, either the family or the medicine. Or my kids will be lost. So Allah guided me to choose my two daughters. So I said, "I will stay at home." But it was not easy. It was a great hardship for me at that time. Okay? So if I am a true believer in Allah, I will say, Allah is preparing me for something better. You know? I don't know that at that time. I stayed at home and I cried for some time. Then Allah sent for me a neighbor whom she was reading the meaning of the Holy Quran. You see, that neighbor was there for 5 years, but because I was working day and night, I never met her. But when she noticed that I am at home for a long time, she came and she asked me, "Dr. Mona, why you are not going to work? I don't have no more Dr. Mona. I am Mona only. I am at home." She told me, "Okay, come and attend with us. We are housewives. And we are learning about the meaning of the Holy Quran." And you can't imagine, sisters, this is the minute of the turn of all my life. When I went and I attended the tafsir of one of the verses of the Holy Quran, you know, I realized that I don't know anything about the reality of the worldly life. In spite of the fact I was a physician and a pediatrician and I was a neonatologist and alhamdulillah, I did the board and everything, but I realized and I admitted that I don't know anything about the reality of the worldly life, because Allah in that verse was clarifying who are the best people. I was under the impression that the best people are those whom they are working day and night, you know, for example, you know, pediatrician and like whatever, you know. But I don't know that the best people are those whom they have the good hearts, whom they are connected correctly with Allah, whom they fear only Allah. So at that point, I said to myself, "Oh Allah, it was not a hardship to stay at home. This is the greatest blessing in my life." And I started to learn how to be patient with this big change in my life. I was staying at home most of the time, because my husband was working most of the time. and I was living in the Gulf. I can't drive. So I was stuck at home for years and years. Okay, and during these years, I decided to memorize the Holy Quran so that I get benefit of my time. And I was alone. I don't have a teacher. I don't have a sheikh. I don't have anyone. I will just get the Quran and try to memorize alone. Okay, this is how Allah taught me how to become patient. So that Allah was preparing me to come to America. You know, I don't know all of this. When my husband one day came and told me we will move to America, I told him, no, I can't go to America. They are telling America is evil. I can't. I am here memorizing the Quran, staying at home alone, no problem. He told me, this is final. You will go to America. And when I came to America, for the first 2 weeks, actually, this is a known story in Iowa City. Me and my daughters, and at that time I have Yosra also, so we were four women crying day and night to leave America. We were crying to him every day, please send us back, please send us back. He said, it is final. You again, you remember before when you stayed at home? Now it is again. Stop crying, okay, and be realistic. So I decided to go to the mosque. Allah sent me to the mosque. And since then, I am the one, after my husband, to stay in America. After 2 or 3 years, my husband decided to return back to the Gulf. He told me, work is too much in America. People whom they are working in the Gulf area, they are not working at all. Very little work. And a lot of money. And no taxes. So I want to return to the Gulf. I told him, on my neck, on my dead body, I will never leave America. Because I feel that I am a respectable human being in America. I have the human rights in America. And believe me, sister, this happened while 9/11 was there. But still, no one said to me any word. No one said to me, don't come to the masjid. I was going to the masjid, and I have the memorization, the tafsir of the Quran. And all praise to Allah. I felt that I am a respectable human being for the first time in my life in America. And I am saying this for the sake of Allah. And I am saying this because I must say, you know, what the blessings which Allah gave me. This is the greatest blessing in my life, that Allah sent me to America after He taught me to be patient. After He taught me the Holy Quran. After He taught me the reality of the worldly life. I didn't come to America confused, like most of the Muslims, whom they are after the wealth, or the prestige, or the job, or the house, and the car, and all of these materialistic issues. All praise to Allah. I came to America knowing the reality of everything. And because of that, don't be upset for the hardships which you are facing as a Muslim, because this means that Allah wants you to have a strong spirit so that you follow His way all the time, so that you are steadfast, so that you believe that my way is the right way. And for the sake of Allah, I will wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I will fast the very difficult days of the year and the very hot days of the year. I will give charity in spite of the fact maybe I'm in need of the money, but I will give it for the sake of Allah. I will help the sisters. I will sacrifice for my family. I will sacrifice for my kids. I can tolerate everything for the sake of Allah, because I am a true believer. So actually, sister, the more you sacrifice for your belief, the more your belief is precious for you. This is very important fact. The more you fast, the more you pray at night, the more you give charity, the more you leave your house to come to the masjid. Okay, the more you live for the sake of Allah, the more your belief is precious for you. Okay, and the more you abandon it. This is the story of the boycott of the Quraysh. It turned totally for the benefit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers, who became more strong and more connected to Allah, and also more ready to sacrifice for their beliefs in the oneness of Allah. We will stop here, inshallah, and inshallah next week we will continue with the next step in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and let us make the dua. الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Oh Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all love in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Alhamdulillah.